be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
It's time for Bookworm. This is the show for avid readers and those that should be avid readers on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, here's your host.
Thank you. Welcome to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich. Our topic today is J.D. Salinger's novel, The Catcher in the Rye. Now, see, a lot of people hear that sound, Catcher in the Rye, and they assume, oh, no, not this book, and how it's been banned from a couple of schools, and how some of its topics aren't what people would really be looking for. Now, before you make that kind of a decision and completely just shoot off the book at all, consider the fact that it's a great message for kids. I enjoyed it personally as a teen myself of the book, and it has a wonderful message. The book's about J.D. Hitt's novel, The Catcher in the Rye. It's about an adolescent boy of 16. He desires to circumvent the natural progression into adulthood by attempting to preserve childlike innocence. He'll try to become an adult at some points, but then he doesn't really want to show that he's an adult in others, and there's still a lot of childhood problems that he has, and he can't really get past a lot of it. At the beginning of the novel, let me talk about that. The beginning of the novel, you kind of just see who he is as a person, really, and how he's failing out of school. He feels like his parents don't really get to know him. Sounds like almost every teen, right? Except for the failing, hopefully. You gotta stay in school, right? But he smokes a lot sometimes, and he doesn't know who he is personally, so he's doing everything just to try to find who he is as a person. And that he also likes to be an adult, but other times doesn't want other people to grow up. He kind of wants to be this, like, Peter Pan heroic person. And it even shows that when he does it with his own his little sister, Phoebe. And he never wants, like, if he sees a bad word written on a wall, he'll erase it and write something good, or just erase it completely. Or if somebody says something bad, he'll get really, really upset. Or he's trying these vain attempts to preserve innocence. And I feel like a lot of people try to do that, and they just got to realize that kids have to grow up. So that's why I feel like this novel is a great example of how that people just don't want people to grow up, and it's a wonderful novel. But, you know, Holden Caulfield is the main character. He doesn't want people to grow up, as I said, has a mission to ensure that other children should stay innocent as long as possible. In order to succeed in this mission, attainable, impossible to stop other children from crossing over to adulthood. While admirable in his mission, Holden fails to realize impossible, as all children will eventually, you know, mature and to stay young forever. And it's an unrealistic expectation that some people just, as I said before, don't really understand. The main theme, in my personal opinion, and in many others, is in The Catcher of the Rye, is the unrealistic expectations that he sets up for himself. To believe that one can stop the natural progression of adolescence to an adulthood is completely unrealistic. It's not even fathomable. While one could, in essence, delay the maturing process, it isn't something that can realistically be accomplished. For example, in the novel, when Holden recalls his sister is only the most innocent moments of her life and come to mind, when he comes home in the afternoon after he's been on a binge doing stupid things, he comes home to his old house because the school that he went to previously that he's failing out of is a school for just miscreant boys. It's a preparatory school all the way in Pennsylvania, and he lives in New York. And he basically just leaves. He doesn't let his parents come pick him up. He just leaves the school and sees New York, you know, has a little bit of money that his parents gave him, and has fun with it, sees some old friends. You see that through the novel. Not a lot of people like this kid, and there's a lot of reasons behind it. But one could, in essence, delay the maturing process. It isn't something that can realistically be accomplished. When his sister Phoebe, she looks very pensively, reflecting on her innocence, he notices how, one of his quotes is, she was lying there asleep with her face sort of on the pillow. She had her mouth way open. It's funny. You take adults that look lousy when they're asleep and they have their mouths open, but kids don't. Kids look all right. They can even have spit all over their pillow and still look all right. Salinger 159. Ironically, while Holden only sees children like innocents, Phoebe is actually more mature than an adult or even Holden himself. Ironically, Holden is attempting to preserve Phoebe's innocence, even though she's obviously surpassed him in non-innocence but maturity than he has. There's another example of this is definitely when she tells him that everything's going to be okay and how his father is going to be very angry with him when he finds out that he's failing out of school, which obviously every parent would feel that way too. I don't blame you, but... Well, when she says this, Holden kind of realizes that she's slightly more mature than him, but he doesn't, like, I bet subconsciously he doesn't like that. He loves his sister to death, but he subconsciously, I bet, does not want her to be more mature than him. I mean, who would want, as an older sibling, I don't want my siblings to ever surpass me in anything, you know, kind of like hold that high bar and being able to say that you can do it, But you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich. Our topic today is The Catcher in the Rye. And my show is called The Bookworm. So enjoy that. Another example of Holden's unrealistic attempts is to his grip on the memory of his deceased younger brother, Ali. This book kind of gets slightly dark once in a while, but it always comes back with a lighter mood. Or his little brother Ali died when he was very young, and it really holds him back from, you know, just basic things. I mean, when you have somebody close to you die, you feel terrible for a good month and year, depending on how close this person was to you, and it really holds him back. And he talks about him and his sister were talking about Phoebe is trying to motivate him to get a new job or to find something that interests him. And his answer was, "I like talking about Ali." And well, while that's great, that's not going to get you anywhere in life. I mean, I like to talk about like my dead turtle, but you know, that's not gonna do anything. And he keeps dwelling a lot in the past, and when you dwell on the past too much, you can't really look towards the future. So that's another problem that he's having with himself. And everything, and basically, you know, he one quote of him talking about Ali is, Holden believes that while his brother is still dead, he continues to live in heaven. The quote is, "Ali's dead, you always say that. If somebody's dead and everything in heaven, then it isn't really..." Holden is not accepting his little brother's death, Holden notion, and that he's still alive somewhere, even in heaven, and therefore has not left him. Phoebe alternatively shows her maturity by acknowledging Ali's death as a concrete fact of life and attempting to move past her grief and acceptance. In trying to protect his sister's innocence, Holden realizes that he can't always be around and that she needs to grow up and take care of herself. Phoebe sees that the there's also a carousel in the there's some of the books on my book that I had was a picture of a carousel, so yeah, it'll talk about a carousel a lot. At the end of the novel, there's a carousel, and Holden takes his sister out because Holden really wants to run away and just go live somewhere and, you know, just get like a medium job or something like that, you know, just like making bricks or I don't know, construction worker. But he wants to get like a basic job, like minimum wage, and he just wants to live by himself, kind of like a hermit. But his sister kind of convinces him not to do that because she wants to come with him, and then he realizes that's just ruining her future along with his own. And there's this carousel when they're walking because he invites her to a park, and while they're going to the park, Holden has a little bit of his change left over. And while they're going through the change, he sees this little carousel, and he remembers how much Phoebe loves carousels. So they go to the carousel, and Phoebe's like, "Oh, you want to come with me? Come with me." And he only has enough money for two rides, him and her. But he feels he doesn't want to go on it, so he gives it both of them to Phoebe. And while he sees Phoebe get onto the carousel, there's these like belt latches, and mind you, this entire novel is in the like 1950s. So there's these belt latches on the carousels, and they prevent them from trying to fall out, but she won't wear them. So he was about to like stop her from not wearing this harness because he feels like she's going to fall off. But then he finally comes to the conclusion that he needs to take a step back and let her try. And if she falls, she will need to learn how to get back up. And he comes to the terms with the fact that he can't always be there and protect Phoebe, so she needs to grow up, and you have to let kids grow up because, you know what, life is all about failure, and if you don't learn from your mistakes, see, that's the problem. If you don't learn from your mistakes, you're never going to do anything better because how can you? So a lot of this is based off of maturity, growing up, adolescence. So for you teens out there, you know, like 14 to maybe like 17, yeah, I know some of you 17-year-olds reading, but, you know, if you want to just sit down and get a book, this is a great novel for you to listen to. So let's take a break. I'm Christopher Froelich. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids. My show is called The Bookworm. Thank you very much.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iRadioBlog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m., whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3. That's 6 p.m. Eastern is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Hey, thank you. Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich. My show is called Bookworm. Our topic today is The Amulet of Smarkand by Jonathan Stroud. This is the first novel in the Bartimaeus trilogy, which also includes The Golem's Eye and Polythamus's Gate. In the story, Nathaniel's an 11-year-old magician apprentice and has grown both as a person and as a magician. As he goes from an unsure magician to his final conflict with a great demon, he learns a great deal about himself and the world of adult magicians, and in which plotting, backstabbing, and self-indulgence are all part of being a magician, you know. So next time you think about magicians just being these weird warlocks or just awkward and everything, yeah, you read this book and your eyes will open a little bit to see that they're not just some clumsy, you know, bearded people. They're pretty sophisticated people. So, you know, Nathaniel is an apprentice by Mr. Underwood, a low-level magician in the Ministry of Information. Kind of like, you know, the Ministry of Magic for the Harry Potter thing. This is more of an intense kind of Harry Potter book. I mean, if you like the Harry Potter books, you'll love this book. It's a little more sophisticated and intense, but it's still a great read, in my personal opinion. Nathaniel is eager to learn and is very skilled, but his master will only let him, you know, advance slowly. And it's clear early on that Nathaniel is a gifted magician with extraordinary talents, but he's held back by this bumbling master, so Nathaniel decides to proceed on his own. He learns how to do some minor spells and summon some lower-level demons, but he creates this pretty cool spying glass that he uses to spy on people. You know, kind of like a crystal ball kind of a thing. He just uses it to spy on a couple of his friends and a little bit of family. What kind of mayhem could a teen do? A lot, and I don't blame him because it's fun, but, you know, hey, Keep it good. So, early in the story, Nathaniel runs afoul of a great wizard named Simon Lovelace. Lovelace embarrasses Nathaniel during a visit to his home. Nathaniel decides to seek revenge by stealing a precious artifact belonging to Lovelace, the Amulet of Smarkand. The amulet is an extremely powerful magic item that Lovelace has obtained and is in less of a legal way. Basically, he didn't obtain it in the most legal of manners, obviously, so by Nathaniel stealing it from him, Nathaniel has done both double illegal kind of a thing, stealing, and also it's not really a legal artifact. You know, when I read about Lovelace, I always thought him as the—I know he's a magician and all, but the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, the Penguin movie. I mean, Lovelace the Penguin, but I don't know, hey, assume what you want. I always thought him as a magical penguin, in my personal opinion, but anyway, throughout the rest of this book, Nathaniel and Bartimaeus have a series of adventures, and they have run-ins with other demons, magical bands of hooligans who steal some of Nathaniel's things. Many of these characters show up later in the book, including a mysterious girl named Kitty Jones. Now, Bartimaeus is a demon that Nathaniel has summoned from the underworld, or like hell, if you really want to think about it. A lot of magicians, see, in a lot of other novels, magicians are portrayed as these people that just know how to do magic and levitate things and make lightning come out of the sky and like fire. This one kind of goes off of the thought that wizards have more power than people think they do, and that they're not just these all-powerful beings, but they do need help from certain magical creatures. So, you know how, like, some people would conjure up, I don't know, like, a dead skeleton to, like, attack their friends, or not friends, obviously, but, you know, enemies or something like that. You know, you get a dead skeleton, that'd pretty much scare anyone to not messing with you, or, but, yeah, they usually do that, but these magicians here are more sophisticated. They conjure up demons, but they're not evil themselves, these magicians. They just say that they're demons because they're things from hell, and that's kind of what a demon is, but they don't use them for evil things. It's really more of a person, kind of like, you know, Pokemon. They just use the demons for their own good or evil, depending on who the master is. You know, so the story opens up as Nathaniel summons the demon Bartimaeus, a cocky 5,000-year-old Djinni, with an incredible sense of irony and extremely sarcastic sense of humor. Throughout the story, Bartimaeus plays the role of wisdom and comic relief. The story moves quickly with lots of action and magic fights between Nathaniel and other magicians and Bartimaeus and other demons. So a lot of these people also make the demons fight each other too. So you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich, and our topic today is The Amulet of Smarkand by Jonathan Stroud. My show is called The Bookworm. So the story moves quickly with lots of action, magic fights between Nathaniel and other magicians and Bartimaeus and other demons. So, you know, kind of like the Golden Compass thing. They can have their demons fight each other, and if one loses, not the greatest thing ever, but it kind of hurts the person as well. The end is terrific with Bartimaeus and Nathaniel. I'll just let you read it for yourself, but my favorite parts of the book are the various comments that Bartimaeus makes, some for clarity, others for informative, and some are just downright hysterical. You always know what a good one is coming, because there's such a huge footnote at the bottom of the page. For those of you out there that don't really like long books, this isn't really the book for you, but if you're one of those people that loves trilogies, kind of a Lord of the Rings / Harry Potter / Golden Compass fan, this is a great mixture of all those things galvanized together, so I really feel that you'll enjoy it. The author uses footnotes to signify areas where Bartimaeus adds some of his pearls of wisdom and sarcastic remarks about humans and magicians in particular. A great example of this occurs early in the book when Nathaniel has summoned Bartimaeus to help him get revenge on Simon Lovelace. Bartimaeus is explaining how many people use magic crystals to help ward off evil spirits. In the footnote, Bartimaeus says, "The plazas were littered with licensed quacks selling minor charms and trinkets." Footnote 5 says, "Particularly popular were shards of crystals that were purported to exude life-enhancing auroras. People hung them around their necks for good luck. The shards had no magical properties whatsoever, but I suppose in one way they do. I have a productive function. People wearing them immediately advertised themselves as magical ignoramuses, and as a result, they were ignored by many factitions of feuding magicians." There are many more comments and quids from Bartimaeus like this one throughout the book. It made the reader reading much more easier and a lot more enjoyable to understand, and actually a lot more to understand, because then you see like the demon's point of view and how he kind of feels in this situation, other than, you know, the magician, which is always, you always get that main character thing. And great books aren't always about just the main character. They're always, you know, they show a little bit of the other people too. And you want to have many dynamic characters in a novel. If you don't, then they're just some flat static characters. It's going to be a little boring. So, also, there's some dark parts. I mean, like in everything, there's always a light to a dark, but there's a couple of pretty dark parts. And Bartimaeus is kind of the comic relief a lot through this novel. Even though he's some supposed to be some scary demon and some guy that's going, you know, I'm going to kill you or something like that. You know, he's really sarcastic and quite funny. So you can actually read this book without the lights on. Yeah, I would take that adventure. So don't worry about it, guys. You'll be fine. I would recommend this book. In fact, the whole series to anyone, adult or kid. It's relatively easy to read. I mean, I read it, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a great reader, but I enjoy great books as much as the next guy. But yeah, the magic, auction, and humor will keep kids interested, while the social commentary and sarcasm will work for adults. Adults, you'll love this book because, you know, you get your kids off your hands, or kids, you get a great book. I mean, TV's great, but I'm be honest with you, I am a recovering TV addict, and just now I'm getting off of TV and trying to get back to, you know, books and everything like that. And I can be honest with you, like, TV shows are great, but they don't really last with you. Now, a book you can take to heart and really, you know, just get with it and kind of just, you know, really, really just fully engulf yourself. It's more of a, books are more like movies, and with movies you can get the lesson of it, but mainly with books you get a lot more imagery, you get a lot more what personal in depth into it, because, you know, it's your idea towards it, your feeling of how the book should be, what the characters look like. If you don't like how they look, that's how they look like to you, and you really get your own personal grasp on what this novel is basically about. And, you know, with a lot of things you don't get that, so that's why I feel that books are so much greater, and that this great book has a wonderful lesson to it as well. I'm not going to spoil this book for many of you, because, you know, great books always need a person to be, you know, you got to be interested in it all. So, story that works manipulative levels, the magic, action, and humor will keep kids interested, while the social commentary and sarcasm would work for adults. Go out and get all three books. I highly recommend them in the Bartimaeus trilogy, and enjoy the Harry Potter. Enjoy a little bit of Harry Potter with a sense of humor and a kind of a Lord of the Rings twist to them. I can't honestly. This is a great book. Demons are pretty cool in the book. So, you know, I just, you know, let's take a break. I'm Christopher Froelich. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids. Thank you.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go, on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids.
you just love your pets. But sometimes, they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich. My show is called Bookworm. And, you know, we're going to do things a little different today. Surprise, surprise. You know, Merry Christmas for this one. We're going to talk not about the book, we're going to read this book. This was a book donated by a fan to Kidstar Radio, how much they love us, and how they kind of wanted us to read the book over, you know, over the radio. So instead of a book on audio, I'm forced to listen to, but I think you'll enjoy it a lot, especially for anyone under the age of 10. I think you'll really enjoy this book. The book is called The Adventures of Dusty Popsalot by Dr. Chris M. McDaniel. Yes, M. McDaniel. And let's just head on in. Let's get right into it. Let me get to the first page. And Dusty Popsalot. The morning sun came through the window, burning bright and hot. The light crept in to wake the boy deemed Dusty Popsalot. So this is kind of more of a, you can already tell, it's going to be a little bit more of a Dr. Seuss kind of a rhymey book. So this is great for them younger kids, you know, the night before Christmas, or maybe just, you know, because you like to read your kids' story at bedtime. My dad always did, and I turned out, well, at least in my opinion, very well. So, he tossed and turned to fight the glow. He wanted one last shot to slay that dragon from his dream. Such battles he need be fought. So, as you can see in this picture right here, well, as much as I can see since it's all audio, you see him, he's sleeping in his bed, and his little dream, you know, one of those little bubble things, little dot, 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 big bubble. There's a castle in the background. There's him being a kind of a knight fighting this last dragon. So that's what that is. But Dusty rubbed his dreary eyes and jumped down from his cot. His Saturday had just begun, and tired he was not. Like, well, actually, no, that's completely opposite with me. I'm very tired on a Saturday morning. I usually sleep until 12, but yeah, hey, kudos to this kid. He threw his favorite t-shirt on his buckle in the slot. He tied up both his shoes and pulled the laces through their knot. He started to the breakfast table, realized he'd forgot his fluffy friend and sidekick, Funny Bunny Hopsalot. So you see him walking down the hallway, and in his left hand is this misshapen creature that kind of looks like a bunny, but you know it's been used over the course of 11 or 12 years. It does not even resemble a bunny anymore. So they popped down Dusty's hallway, past his sleeping sister. Dot and stepped into the kitchen just to see what Mom had bought. He tried to eat the oatmeal, but it was just too piping hot. He bit into an apple that just began to rot. So now a new adventure brewed for Dusty Popsalot, to find a meal to feed him and his trusty Hopsalot. The duo popped by Dusty's room and grabbed his new slingshot. They popped a bag of goodies, and he might be glad he bought. So you kind of see him just sitting there, you know, looking at the oatmeal, kind of like, eh, it's too hot, and to be honest with you, it's just gross. He got some OJ and a little bit, he's got his little rotten apple over there, too. And the other page is just these assortments of goods that he has in his backpack. He's got his little baseball hat, football, some binoculars, a bow and arrow, and a slingshot. And it's some items I would not actually, aren't commonly found in maybe fifth or fourth grader's backpacks, but yeah, it's a story. His little Popsalot Dusty, his little zoo card, and a Swiss Army knife and some change. So that's what's on that page. They started on their mission, making sure to waver not. He knew they surely find the snacks their rubbling tummy sought. So you see him kind of at one of those places, just be like, oh yeah, he's outside and he's going to all these stores. He sees this like Fat Daddy's Pizza or Rusty Barn or Club Cayman, Topper Stop and Stop, Semi Rebellious Records, and things. And he's at a little like shopping area. He's trying to find something to eat, like all of us. A short walk across the neighborhood, across the parking lot, the hungry twosome walked right into Topper's One Stop Stop. And all the boys walked as aisle to aisle, treated jams with every slot. His eyes were wide with wonder as his stomach tied a knot. So you see him, turns out this is a candy store, so it's not really great food for him, but he's very hungry, so, you know, great candy, hey, candy. So the counter dusty went while all the food he had bought. He emptied both his pockets. Sir, that's all the change I've got. So you see him with his pockets hanging out and his little bunny on the right, and he's just, you know, he's trying to pay for everything. So, you know, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich. Our topic today is just reading about the book and, you know, and just The Adventures of Dusty Popsalot by Dr. Chris M. McDaniel. Then the Toppers looked at Dusty, shook his head. Son, I think not. You haven't got enough for all these things, items to be bought. And you just see him with little quotes, says, nope. And his name is Japper. So, Japper. He hung his head with what he said, this less he had been taught. When packing things to bring, make sure there's nothing you forgot. So you just found out that he forgot his change and everything like that. He exits. A lesson learned, the two now turned, where money mattered not, towards a friendly furry faces popped out of hungry little lot of tot. The city zoo had often proved to be their favorite spot, with rhinos, lions, tigers, apes, giraffes, and ocelots. Yeah, he's just going to the zoo. You see a little city zoo sign, you know, the whole, like, kind of looks like, if you ever seen a picture of the Bronx Zoo kind of a thing, kind of looks like that in the picture. So kids eat free, so that's also great for him. Then the city zoo, and he has his own little zoo pass, remember from the previous thing, his little zoo pass, so he's going in with a zoo pass and he doesn't have to pay. And the signs above the entry gate of iron, strong, and wrought said, kids eat free. Oh, could this be the lucky break they've sought? As Dusty flashed his zoo ID, the two began to trot. Two tasty treats and homemade eats ran Dusty Popsalot. The African savanna was the chosen buffet spot. Where their pair arrived, they found that this plan, too, was shot. So you see this sign that says sold out. So the sign rolled out and said, sold out. The soup has all been bought. My stew just fed with whole darn zoo. They emptied every pot. So you just see him there. Yeah, he's kind of really, really sad. I mean, he's not getting any food. He sees a little bunny on the right-hand side with his cool little shirt. There's a sign that says sold out. Everything's in the recycling. All the stew's been spilled. There's nothing left. All you can eat stew is just gone. See some of the animals. Next page. Again, the quest for food began. Through the jungles and lot, a path best by pitfall shall prevent their journey not. A race to one familiar face named Rhino Romsalot. Approaching him in record place to two was Hopsalot. So he's going to the rhino exhibit. Rhino, you'll know what you do. You always help a lot. We know what we can count on you, said Dusty Popsalot. My boy, I like your spirit. Such a feisty fight you fought. Your heart shall guide your belly to a meal that's nice and hot. No, it's just him talking to the rhino. So, you know. Lucky guy got to meet a talking rhino, which is pretty cool. So a flustered little Dusty left the zoo with Hopsalot. Reflecting on the rhino's words, the two just sat and thought. Honey bunny, talk to me. Give me all the help you've got. Got any bright ideas beneath your ears that flop a lot? That smiling rabbit scratched his head and thought to think his thoughtful thought, then realized what the rhino said, the moral to this plot. Whenever problem fills your day, said Bunny Hopsalot, let friends and family guide your way. That's the way we both forgot. The light bulb over Dusty's head, like a firefly's, had just caught, glowed brightly as the answers came as Dusty yelled, "Great Scott!" So, you kind of see these, like, little light bulb over his head with, you know, just light bulbs over Dusty's head with little fireflies in him. Kind of looks pretty cute. And there's his idea. He kind of has this idea face, like, oh, got an idea. So, advice so good and timely, dearest Bunny Hopsalot, let's go back where it all began to Mom and Dad and Dot. Dad is sister, so just want to make sure you guys remembered. So through their woods they wandered to the water edge they got. They jumped aboard the Taui Ho, their neighbor's big blue yacht. Oh, their neighbors have a yacht. That must be nice. That's cool. The Taliho. And you see this cool, like, purple yacht with a little pool in the back. Kind of, it's tied down to the dock and everything. And you see him walking through the woods to the dock. My question is, how does his parents are not concerned that he's walking around this entire town without supervision? But, you know, well, as long as it's a safe neighborhood, can't blame him. Two pirates on the open seas, a hook on Hopsalot, with a sword drawn high and one patched eye perched a peg leg Popsalot. So you see him and his little bunny, and they're pretending to be pirate on the yacht. It looks like a pirate ship now. He's got a little piece of buried treasure, got his little one-shot pistol, and he got a pirate on, peg leg, you know, the whole uniform. He kind of looks like the guy from Peter Pan, what was the pirate from Peter Pan, Captain Hook. And then you got his little bunny pops a lot over here with his little monocle kind of a thing going on, a little telescope, one earring, and a little bandana and hook, the cannonballs. So let's take a break right now. I know that you're all tired, and this is a wonderful novel, but I'm Christopher Froelich. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun. Times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back, to the favorite TV shows of our childhood. Your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Hey, welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich. My show is called Bookworm, and we are just finishing up the book called The Adventures of Dusty Popsala by Dr. Chris M. McDaniel. We were going through basically what's happened so far as this poor little kid's been looking for food, and he's gone to the zoo, he went to the candy store, and he just got off this ship that he's pretending he was a pirate with his little friend, Dusty Popsalot, which is a little toy rabbit here, and he's found no food. He's been looking for food. Previously in the show, I have been talking about the Amulet of Smarkand by Jonathan Stroud, and also I've been talking about the novel, J.D. Salinger's novel, The Catcher in the Rye, which is another great book, both of which I highly recommend, and I really hope that you liked the descriptions and the little summaries, basically, about the books. But now I'm going to come back to the actual reading of a book, which is a change of topic in my show. So here we go. And the back here to they've steered the ship to a vacant slip, secured with a sailor's knot. Then Dusty and his trusty plush ran fast as fast could trot. And you see him getting off the boat, running towards his house. They rifled through the doggy door where Graham had stalked his plot. They tumbled across the hardwood floors and landed in the spot. When Mom and Dad, with arms open, hugged the boy they've caught, when Dusty held his little friend whose words had helped a lot. Pepperoni pizza night, oh, how could he have forgot? They laughed and played and ate their fill with Mom and Dad and Dot. Oh, lucky you got pepperoni pizza from Fat Daddy's Pizza. There you go, see? With belly full, he brushed his teeth and climbed back in his cot. Awaiting life's adventures, dream out Dusty pops a lot. The end. Stay tuned for Dusty's next adventures. In case you missed it, we've placed 33 hidden Pops-a-lots in the pages of this book for your pleasure seeking enjoyment. Now go back and see if you can find all the floppy ears out for the hero. So say this is kind of one of those fun books where instead of kids just, you know, having to read it, there's little fun things too where you can find little Pops-a-lots that are hidden throughout this novel. Little things that you just can't find them. There's 33 of them. You know, there you go. Oop, there's another one on the first page. So it's great stuff too. No one loves kids' stories more than Mom and Dad. My parents can't get enough of those kids, and those kids can't get enough of their own grandmommy and granddaddy. A surefire way for Dad to bring out their infectious laughter is to tell them one of these favorite jokes with his, which has been portrayed subtly on the pages of this book. Here's the silly but beloved joke. What did the snail say when riding the turtle's back? Whee! So, about the author... Dr. Chris McDaniel is an author of Loss of Voice by My Poetic Journey. He will continue to share his love for rhyming verses in the Dusty Pops-a-lot series, inspired by the apples of his eye. By the apples of his eyes, kids, obviously. That's cute. You can see a little picture of his kids and him. This book is a gift to his two very special children. Dr. Chris conjured an adventurous spirit named Dusty in the moment his nephew Connor was born, and when he was blessed with his niece Caitlin some years later, he knew that he had to give them their very own bedtime story. Influenced by the people and places from his travels and friends and family that are near and dear to his soul, his work is always a mixture of warmth, optimism, and heartfelt emotion. For up-to-dates on several creative endeavors currently in progression, please visit him at drchrismcdaniel.com. That's the capital D, little R, capital C, H-R-I-S, capital M, little C, capital D, A-N-I-E-L dot C-O-M dot com. All one word. Great website. The illustrator, which is Dawn Josephine. She's, if anyone out there who doesn't, the little kids out here, who doesn't know what an illustrator is the person who, so the author is the person who writes the actual, so basically he goes on like Microsoft Word and he writes up a great book and says, this is a great book, so now I need pictures that go with this. So the illustrator is the girl or painter or whatever, sketchist, that, draws the pictures. So all these things where you've heard me describe about him with the fireflies and him with the rhino, talking to the rhino and the guy, and how I talked about what's in his backpack, that's all her. That's all Dawn Josephine's stuff. And her talents both flourished, and as she studied art and education in college, she graduated with a BS in elementary education and her master's in special education, formerly a fourth grade teacher where writer's workshop was a daily event. Now shares her varied artistic talents through illustrating and decorating and designing her own jewelry line. Currently living in the hills of upstate New York, she travels the world often to draw inspiration from her many projects. See more of her work on the web at dawnjosephine.com, Dawn, capital D. So with that, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Christopher Froelich, and we're talking about the book, The Adventures of Dusty Pops-a-Lot. My show is called Bookworm. And so now we have, we have a little more time left in the program, and I feel like I really went through this, but I'd like to share with you one of my personal favorite books. I mean, I love books all, but this is a great book as well. It's called Black Cross by Greg Lees, and it's about kind of spies. It's a more of a spy thing, but it's based on, it's not a true book, but it's based on fiction and fact. So it's basically about this guy who talks about how his grandfather was involved in it's a World War II book. Yeah, I know a lot of you out there are like, oh, the last thing you want to hear is another Holocaust book or like World War II book. You know, I'm getting a little, all right, I mean, how can you top a lot of those great movies or great books about it? Well, this book isn't completely surrounded by it. It's not talking about the deaths. And it's not too dark, but it's dark. It's more of a covert kind of a kind of a James Bond thing going on, you know? It's a great book. I loved it a lot. There's a little bit of violence in it, so for some of you parents out there who are a little wary about, yeah, I don't want my kids knowing about, you know, his head got shot off or something like that, it's not that violent, but it does have that kind of aurora around it, so, you know, keep in mind that. It's about Dr. Mark McCullen, a young Atlanta physician raised by his grandparents since the age of 5, attends his grandparents' funeral. Both of his parents died in a medevac helicopter crash. A silver-haired Rabbi Leibowitz, who claims to have known his grandfather very well, approaches him. Returning together to the family home of the burial, they open his grandfather's safe. They discover 4 mysterious objects. The relic of a man haunted by something he did on the winter night of 1944, an act that brought him unparalleled honors but left wounds in his soul that would never be healed. So, like a lot of most, you know, veterans, they had to see things that not every person ever like sees or even wants to see, for that matter, and it really left an impression on him and his family and how life went. The first relic is the Victorian Cross, the most coveted decoration in the British Empire. It was awarded by Mac McCullen by the British government for an act of great valor. The other, a piece of wooden fabric, a photograph of a young Jewish girl. The lastly, a handwritten note signed by Winston Churchill himself. Now, for all of you out there who don't know who Winston Churchill is, he was the leader of the British during the World War II. And it was his job to prevent the British, not the British, obviously he's not preventing the British, it was his job to prevent the Germans from assaulting, you know, Britain, Great Britain and the UK. That's who Winston Churchill is. He's a very famous guy. Do some research on him, you'll understand what I'm talking about. The Victorian Cross is kind of like, yeah, it's just a great honor to get the Victorian Cross. It's the second highest honor of all things. Very, very few people per year, even like in the last 10 years. I think it's like 10 people in the last 10 years have gotten the Victorian Cross currently. And it's a very high honor, so that's what makes it so important in this novel. Rabbi Leibowitz explains that on February 15th, 1944, 4 people held the fate of the world in their hands. Ooh, it's just getting good. Ooh. And they were not statesmen or generals, but an American doctor, Mark's grandfather, a German nurse, Anna Koth, and a Zionist killer, Jonas Stern, and a young Jewish widow, Rachel Jasmine. At the command of Winston Churchill, these 4 strangers were brought together in a small SS-run concentration camp called Totshanusen, which served as an incubator for a weapons of staggering lethality. A weapon the U.S. General Omar Bradley later admitted would be able to wipe out the entire D-Day invasion from the Omaha Beach. The invasion of Omaha Beach and D-Day, everyone knows. If you played Call of Duty or things like that, you know what I'm talking about. It's a great battle. The reason it's such a significant battle in a lot of the history novels is because so many people don't realize that people think it's just, oh yeah, you know, Britain, France, and U.S. kind of like, you know, stormed the beaches. It wasn't like that. It was a galvanization of so many different countries. So people don't realize so many different countries just came and just bombarded the beaches, and that only a few, and that so many people came against one common evil. was an amazing thing at that time, and that also the German people, I don't want to say they're evil because, you know, they're not, they're just people, but, you know, a lot of people came to them, and they just, the German people held their own so strong against these thousands, hundreds of thousands of troops, and that only they had maybe like 100 to 200,000 troops, and they took out so much, is the reason why this is such a significant battle, and it's always portrayed in a lot of novels. Back to the story, though. An invisible gas called sarin, which is the super gas, that's the thing that they were talking about, how it could destroy the entire D-Day operation, because the sarin, which is also known as the Black Cross, enters the skin and kills instantaneously. Churchill wants to strike without reason to decimate the German stockpiles of the gas, so it will never be released to anyone but in Germany itself. So that's the problem that they're having there, is that, okay, so we need to get rid of this gas, right? How are we going to do it? All right, let's bomb it. Well, when you bomb the gas, it's going to blow up, and then the gas is going to be released because it's a gas. You can't contain gas other than freezing it, and even then it's going to be released. So they're having this problem of, well, do we want our troops being killed, or do we want hundreds upon thousands of German civilians to be killed? So that's about it. Yeah, thanks so much for joining us here. You have been a great audience listening to me, Christopher Froelich, on my show Bookworm on Voice America Kids Radio Network.
You've been listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll be here at the same time next week, so be sure to tune in. Now, how many books do you think you can get through before our next show?
You're listening to Voice America Kids.
The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.